to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. I hope that you have already seen that. Beginning from verse 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that thy word, which when it is being read and it is being meditated upon, bring light to our soul. Please, Lord, by your great mercy and grace, may you continue, Lord, to work through thy Holy Spirit in our midst. We realize our unworthiness, O Lord, to receive thy blessings, but because of your love and mercy, you showed your love to us, even by sending your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that through his death and suffering, we will have new life as a result of forgiveness of our sin through his precious blood. And therefore, we only come unto him, not our own merits, but through his own merits. And even listening to this message of thy word, O Lord, may you please speak to us, that it will accomplish which you have purposed in it, for thy glory and honor, and for the benefit of our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you can see from this short text from verse 17, Paul writes that when people are joined together in Christ, they are being changed from glory to glory, from God's enemies into his good friends, and forever. That in verse 21 explains how this remaking continually can take place in our lives. God's judgment fell on Christ. The judgment of our sin fell on Christ, who is our representative, who was without sin. And so when we are joined to Christ, our sins are no longer counted against us. We can now stand in the right relationship with God, which Christ enjoyed. Part of God's initiative in making us his friends was to give the Apostle Paul, and in turn the whole church, the ministry of reconciliation, or making other people friends of God. The church has variously understood this task and has become involved in all kinds of enterprises, from worldwide and even local evangelistic outreach, social justice programs, to international peace mediation. While the church must take seriously these social and political problems of our time, Paul understood the ministry of reconciliation to be preaching of the cross as the love of God for sinners. That's our ministry as well. We must not be sidetracked from this task. A world at peace and free of social problems, as we all aspire, and other unbelieving world around us would aspire, would still be a people, a world of people at war with God. So even though we have peace or free of social problems, of course it is impossible. We are always facing social problems. But this is a world which continually, a world of people that is at odds or at war with God. And they are our responsibility as well in reaching out to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul sees his task in terms of being an ambassador, speaking not for himself, but as God's representative, which is expressed in verse 20, let God change you from enemies into his friends. Which is in our text, I read, now when we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Let God change you from enemies into his friends is just the way we should express that so that people can understand that. When God reconciles a soul to himself, he applied the righteousness of Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood. So that when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, as exposed to himself that he cannot please God, he cannot enter into God's kingdom because of his good works, is only merits in coming to Christ is through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work at Calvary. So Paul often brings together contrasting pictures, different way of showing this truth of the church and especially of his own work as an apostle of Christ and also as the pastor of a congregation. He tells the Corinthians, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, in verse 20 to 21. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, we are calling on you, we are beseeching you. That's what the word is meaning. We implore you, we beseech you. We want to draw you. On Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That is our message to the world that is lost around us, to the community that's around us. And Paul is doing that as an ambassador for Christ. And we as ambassador for Christ should do the same thing. So first of all, there is this glorious commission which Paul present to us. In verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, though God were making his appeal through us. So can you imagine that great and most important responsibility as Christ's ambassador, as Paul, who is Christ's ambassador? There's a great responsibility. And we as Christ's ambassadors in this church, we have that special responsibility as well. The office of an ambassador suggests dignity, movement, encounter, and authority. The word Paul uses here is in fact related to the Greek word for elder, and that is presbyteros, which literally means an old man. And so both the high office of an ambassador and the very word employed suggest a certain rank which comes for a man's seniority. And so in the case of an ambassador, he does not need entertainers or pop stars or high-ranking important people to invite them alongside him in order to be heard. Although some churches invite these people to arouse people's interest to listen, but that's not God's method. That's not what Paul received from God. He does not need personality or charisma for men to hear the word of God's salvation. He is not heard for any such reasons, but because behind his ambassadorship lies all the authority of the monarchs or nation whom he is representing, which is more in the context of the UK. He must always remember his office and whom he represents as he speaks. He never officially speaks on behalf of himself. The office was well known to Paul, And the Corinthians, there would be constant communication day by day, social interaction between various Greek states. And for such social interaction, an ambassador was employed. And you know what an ambassador's job is. As you go and go to that certain embassy, any part of the world that represents a nation or a people, he spoke on behalf of the city or state as an ambassador. This was his authority for talking and behaving as he did in preaching the gospel of Christ. So the Apostle Paul took to himself the title of an ambassador when he speaks of his work. At the end of his epistle to the Ephesians, he describes himself as ambassador in chain in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. He had been speaking for the kingdom of heaven, serving his mighty Lord, proclaiming his word, and it was on his account of this that he had been arrested and put in prison. But in our text, he does not say, I, as an apostle of Christ, am the Lord's ambassador. He separates the office of an apostle, which was uniquely his, and the 12 apostles, from the office of an ambassador. And he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. So they are distinctly expressed or defined. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. There is that great we, as the apostle embraces the entire church in Corinth. He stands in solidarity with the whole body of Christ in the form of a local congregation, just as we are. As local churches, we face the world as one of the embassies of the kingdom of heaven. You would be glad of your national embassy when you go to abroad to run if you were in serious trouble when you are on overseas trip or holiday. The embassy staff would have knowledge and authority to assist you. The church is an embassy. Let me repeat that. The church is like an embassy from God. And as it confronts the world, it does so as those who are conscious that they speak on behalf of Christ. So we, as members of the body of Christ, have that responsibility as ambassadors of Christ. A true preacher, you as a small preacher for that matter, who communicate the gospel, come with an authoritative word as the ambassador from the court of heaven to plead the cause of Christ with men whom God so loved that he gave his son to save them. As ambassadors, we work on Christ's behalf. Let me repeat that. As Christ's ambassadors, or as ambassadors for Christ, we work on Christ's behalf. What are we doing? Listen to this. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors in verse 20. As though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is like begging, calling men with tears and on our knees in prayer, calling men to be reconciled to God. Is this what we are doing? You children, is that what you're doing? To share the good news that you have received? Or we just memorizing it? Or we adults, we listen to the word of God with good presentation and point by point. But are we doing them? Are we telling to the world, be reconciled to God? Oh, there is a great responsibility to this, to do this. Or our listening to the word of God goes in vain because we don't do them. Notice the magnificent grace of God. It was on our behalf that God made Christ to be sin. It is now on Christ's behalf that God makes us ambassadors. What a great responsibility. Not just a joy or a title to receive. Paul did not take notice as a joy or because we have that title of ambassador, but he sensed the great responsibility of beseeching men, imploring men on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. His concern for us was so great that it led to the cross. How much concern have we for Christ? Is the question of the day. It's a question that we need to ask ourselves. If we love Him as much as He loved us, we should be zealous ambassadors indeed. This praise on Christ's behalf could transform our ministry. Because God, when we share the good news, when we implore men, beseeching men and drawing men and calling them to repentance, to repent of their sin and come to Christ for forgiveness through His precious blood, it's just like Christ is doing that through us. Remember that. It's not just doing it because we are workers, but because of our love for Him. And the question is, do we do it? Because it's a transforming understanding of the ministry we are doing. There is no more powerful incentive in our work of evangelism than for the sake of His name, which is in Romans 1:5. As God, in and through the death of Christ, done all that is necessary for man's reconciliation. In other words, God is asking us, if God has done through Christ everything for the salvation of man's sin, including each one of us, then we should spare no pain. We should waste no opportunity to urge upon men and women persistently and earnestly in our prayer. We cannot do this just going out every Sunday or perhaps 3 times a week or 2 times or perhaps doing it every day. We cannot do that persistently and earnestly without falling on our knees, which is the necessity of being reconciled to God. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot just automatically do it and go out and call men to repentance. We ourselves should know how it is to be washed anew of our sin, so that as clean vessels we can present to God ourselves as our living sacrifice, ready to call men and to come and ask them for repentance, as if Christ is beseeching men through us, through us. And then secondly, as imploring ambassador, as men calling, as ambassadors calling and drawing men to Christ for repentance. The office of an ambassador suggests dignity, culture, and measured tones, and a firm, almost a regal bearing. Someone who is on the government level, that you are called as an ambassador, because this is an important work, that you should represent your country to everyone who comes to the embassy and help those people that are in need, whether visas, protection, assurance of protection and safety, and the enjoy of freedom of speech and of expression and of worship. This is the work of an ambassador. As Christ's ambassador, we should not take that responsibility lightly. Although many times we do, but as we listen to this word of God, we should actually take notice of the importance of it. But notice that the manner of Christ's ambassador is that God is making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. And also Paul uses 2 terms to describe how ambassadors speak. God makes His appeal, he says. That is, God is beseeching or begging or entreating people. It is the word used to describe disciples in intercessory prayer. Then there is the similar phrase which says, we implore, we call, we draw you, we are beseeching you. And this word is used to the of the leper who came to the Lord Jesus Christ and fell on his face and pleaded with the Lord Jesus to heal him. It is used of the father of the epileptic boy who begged the disciples to cast the unclean spirit out of his son. It is also use of Jesus' intercession at Gethsemane. Does this not show the utter perversity of sin, the utter wickedness of sin that men, including us, do before we experience the salvation in Christ? And for that matter, even after we have salvation, we continue to sin. But God forbid, we should not. Because we have now a new life in Christ. And we should not live our life anymore in the flesh, but in the newness of life. That man had to be pleaded with by all the power of the living God to trust in God's own Son and receive everlasting life. Yet, what grace, what a dignified ambassador descend to entreat, in other words, to do that work. What an incomparable glimpse of the pity of God when this word is used. As Paul was conscious that as he was speaking the truth of the gospel, God was speaking to sinners at that same time. His words through his lips, as he was pleading with men, with them to believe it. Remember, sometimes we forget, as though we are the only one speaking. But when we speak God's word, God is actually the one pleading with men. As Paul, as we as church are exhorting people to come to Christ, God was also exhorting. We should remember that. Sometimes we don't feel that sense that God is the one behind us. We are only instruments. As he was encouraging, God was also encouraging. As you are encouraging other men and the people of faith, God is also encouraging them through us. As he was rebuking in God's message, Sunday after Sunday, or whenever we listen to God's word, God was also rebuking. God was in Christ speaking on a street corner, through us, through Paul, stretching out his hands all day, yearning for his hearers to be saved. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. We are probably repeating that in our memory verses. We should say it to the whole world. Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Because this rest, the source of this rest, is through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a preacher who protests to crowds through us, who are scorning his messages, who are rejecting his messages. Ask people, Why will you die? Why will you prefer to die eternally? We must ask people this question. God says, I am no delight in your death. We should also express that to people. God has no delight in your eternal punishment. Why will you die? Why will you delight in going eternally to hell? Why will you delight in that? God has no delight in it. I want you to live. We should echo that. This is what God is telling to people. This is what Christ is telling. Repent of your sin. If you don't, your soul will likewise perish. Turn to Christ. So when Paul preached on asking and drawing or imploring people to God and the message of reconciliation, he says such words as this, which is number 3, the message of reconciliation. God tells you what you must do. He has imputed sin or your sin to Christ and the righteousness of Christ to believing sinners. He tells you now to trust in Jesus. Look to him. Believe upon him. And he promises a full pardon and the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness to cover you forever. Children, don't just memorize the robe of Christ's righteousness. He wants to apply it to you. He wants you to be clothed with the same righteousness which Christ gives to those who humbly come before him and ask God to forgive their sin and to change their behavior. You cannot change your behavior. on your own account. God must renew your soul, must renew your, must put a new life in your soul through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you will listen carefully and repent of your sin and respond as you should and call unto Christ our Lord to save you. Why won't you receive it? Why will you harden your heart? Why will you deny it? Why will you laugh it? Why will you continue in your undesirable behavior? That does not only include the children, but us as well. To them who receive His righteousness, or this righteousness of Christ, He gives the right to be called the children of God. So when you trust Christ with all your heart, soul, body, and strength, to forgive your sin, He applies this righteousness to you. And He calls you to be a child of God, or children of God, even to them who believe on His name. If I said to you, listen to this, to everyone, not only to the children, but every one of us. If I said to you that tomorrow I was to take you to the best dress shop in London and purchase you the dress of your choice, whatever the cost, what would be your response? If I take you to a big garage and say to you, you choose any car and I'll pay for it, what will be your response? I am sincere. Would you refuse my offer? How incredible it is that man will gratefully take anything the world offers them for material things sake only. Though such things will last only for a while and until death. While rejecting what God promises, He will do that will lead them to have that great value in themselves, the value of being saved in Christ eternally, forever in heaven. Here is righteousness of Christ. Christ is offering you through Paul, beseeching you to come to Christ, be reconciled to God. It will remain enduringly spotless forever. Will you not take it? Why refuse? Why refuse the offer of Christ's forgiveness and a new robe of righteousness? What benefit can you possibly come to you from refusing, from hardening your hearts? It will just send you away from eternal punishment. Be clothed in this glorious garment of Christ. Wear it. He's offering you today. What would you desire more? There's nothing more glorious and of highest value than this righteousness of Christ, than this robe of righteousness of Christ. Here it is Christ's worthiness for our unworthiness. His sinlessness for our sinfulness. His purity for our impurity. His beauty for our deformity, for our ugliness, and our evil behavior and wicked behavior. His sincerity for our guile. His truth for our falsehoods. His meekness for our pride. His love for our hate. When you have the love of Christ, He will change your hatred into love. And that transforms your new person. And you will enjoy it. And you will never be the same again. His fullness for our emptiness. His glory for our shame. His righteousness for our evident unrighteousness. In conclusion, how happy is the boy or girl, man or woman, who hides himself in this righteousness of Christ, His robe of righteousness, the cleansing blood of Christ that cleanses you of all your hidden sins, of all any type of sin that you committed. Be reconciled to God. Stop being alienated from God. Stop hardening your heart. We beseech you. God is beseeching you, is asking you, is drawing you now to come to Christ's name, in Christ's name, to receive this righteousness of God in His free justification today. God is calling you and me to rededicate our lives. You children, if God has spoken to you this morning, He's calling you in Christ's stead, in Christ's name. Be reconciled to God. He's waiting for you, whenever that may be. He's calling you now. And God is ready to receive you for your justification today. And for us who are straying as God's children, He's ready to forgive us of our sin, to renew our commitment to serve Him to the fullness as Christ's ambassadors. If you have not known this yet, it's a good thing to be called Christ's ambassadors, because when we do His work as Christ's ambassadors, He is beseeching, we are beseeching men as Christ beseeches men, as God beseeches men, calling men to be reconciled. Remember, we don't know this. Sometimes we forget this truth. But when we go out, we're not just doing a thing that Sunday after Sunday, this is a regular thing. But we do it because Christ empowers us. He's the one beseeching men through us. Oh, may we have this portion of truth today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment in which we could reflect upon this great truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that you made him as ambassador as well as. Imploring men, beseeching men to be reconciled to God. Oh Lord, help us not to take this responsibility so lightly. We recommit ourselves unto you, O Lord, to be this kind of ambassadors of your kingdom, imploring these children, young people, to be reconciled to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.